Hey, everybody. Let's fly in V together. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Let's fly in V together. It
doesn't even make, no.
It's better.
Yeah. Kevin, how are you?
What's going on, y'all?
That was good.
Yeah.
I thought that was the best one yet.
Let's fly in V together?
It doesn't make sense as a verb.
You should use it as a pickup line.
I will.
Yeah, there you go. That's your play right there.
Yeah, I'll use it on Tinder. all right. Episode 9er. This is really getting up there in episodes. Tommy, what is our topic today?
The many women in the life of Gordon Bombay.
Yeah. I mean, there's three main ones, but obviously, do we want to talk about Gordon pre his come to Jesus in the first one?
Oh, I'm sure he did plenty of cocaine off of strippers.
No, yeah, I could definitely see that. And then all the secretaries in his law firm, I'm sure he ran through that.
Yeah. And then he lost the Frazier case, but he scored with the court reporter who had the intelligent body.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what does that mean?
Intelligent body?
Yeah.
I guess glasses?
He liked the way she was put together.
Okay. All right. And then, obviously, there's Jane out of law school 1 year. Took over his casework. Is that a win for him? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they were probably close enough that...
I mean, how do you think she got that job?
Oh, good point. Good point. All right. But the main three, really. Casey Conway, Maria from Iceland, and Michelle McKay. And we'll start off with Casey Conway. I mean, Gordon... I was watching this today. And Gordon really, really falls into the relationship there. I mean, because... He goes, and she gets mad at him for putting the kids on the ice. And then she hates him. He comes to apologize. And then Charlie is like, do you want to stay for dinner? And then he does. And then that kind of starts it off. And then, like, he goes, and he's not really doing anything. And then he goes on a date with her. But it was Charlie's, he was like, oh, we should all go to the winter festival. And then Charlie's like, you two should go together. So, how invested is Gordon Bombay really in this relationship?
That's a good point. He was kind of thrust into it.
It seems like he took to it very quickly, though.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was just like...
He bought them an imaginary apartment.
Yeah, he's like, I want to live there, too. And just like, we met like 3 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit forward by Bombay. Not the smoothest move there.
Yeah, buying imaginary apartments and castles is kind of... down the road.
Yeah, that's like a 1 year thing.
Yeah, that's not like a first date kind of thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, how do we feel about his game at the Winter Festival? You know, he makes a joke talking about the sculpture. He makes a joke about the little men and the little chisels.
I will say, Charlie's mom, she was impossible to read from his standpoint. She would go 1 second from being very warm and inviting, and then she'd be frigid the next moment. So it was very tough, I think, for Bombay to get a read on what the hell he was supposed to be doing. Is that, am I supposed to, you know, go strong? Am I supposed to lay back, play it cool? You know, he's used to being the hot shot, you know, the you know, women falling all over him, if you will. But I think he's thrown off his game so much by her, you know, unpredictability, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I don't think he's used to a woman like Casey, especially because, you know, she's not the kind of woman that he normally chases. A, she's, you know, got a kid, and like B, she's definitely, you know, stable. I think she like kind of represents like the change that he's trying to get, and, you know, helping out the kids, and then, you know, that family. And he realized that he doesn't want to be that, like, you know, jerk lawyer anymore. And she kind of represents the, you know, what he wants. And so he's attracted to her that way, even though like Kevin says, it's like, it's hard for him to get a read on her, and it ultimately doesn't work out. So.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I think that's I think we're starting to understand why Casey can't hold on to any of her men. She's not sending out the right signals, and then everybody's getting confused.
Plus, Charlie's a whiny little bitch.
Well, it's funny when it, like, in the first one, Charlie says, like, you know, yeah, you know, she dates, but as soon as they see a kid, it's like, pow, they're out of there. And it's just like, oh, ha, you know, whatever. But it's like, wow, maybe Charlie just kind of wrecks everything. Especially if he's always like, hey, you should go on a date with my mom. Yeah. And he's just like, whoa, hey, man, I'm not, you know, I'm your I'm not doing that.
Solid quote game there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was okay. Big moment I want to talk about. So we talked about a little bit, but he goes with the oh, I want to live there too. Casey gets pissed. And then Gordo, this is a great move. He's like, oh, what? Casey goes and talks about how she, oh, there's going to be Charlie there tomorrow and in 10 years. And I can't keep having people like run away or whatever. And Gordo's like, oh, what? We're talking death do us part on the first date? What do we got to do there? Solid move by Gordon Bombay there, you know.
Kind of flipped the script.
Yeah, and he never really commits on the relationship, if you think about it. So, was it kind of a signal that, like, when he goes and plays in the minors, that this is kind of a doomed type of deal?
Are you asking if it was foreshadowing? Or on the filmmaker's part?
No, I'm saying, did Gordo non-commit because he knew, like, this thing's not, like, he knew he wasn't going to really push it forward to the end.
But at that point, he doesn't realize he's going to go off and play in the minors. That's not on his radar yet.
Well, I'm just in general then. Just, like, he knows, like, he's not taking this all the way.
Even though it's the first thing. Kind of playing off your point, I think he kind of wants to, you know, jump in the water, but he's still just kind of dipping his toes, you know, testing out the waters. And I don't think he's all in at specifically not at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe later on he gets closer and closer to, you know, being all in. But again, she's just all over the place, so it'd be hard to want to jump, you know, full fledged into the relationship at that point.
I wonder if he's at all thinking about potentially like ruining the team. Because at that point, he's you know, kind of realized, like, he went and, you know, he apologized to Charlie, and he's just like, he's helping the Ducks now. And he realizes, like, hey, if I, like, hook up with Charlie's mom, this could be very weird for the Ducks. And so, you know, we talked about this before, is like, so is Gordon, is he selfish? Is he, you know, doing things for the good of the team? And so if he was selfish, you know, he could have just, like, lied to the mom, you know, hooked up with her, and then gone and played in the minors, whatever, done whatever he wanted. But if he's, like, the way he's saying, like, hey, is this till death do us part? You're kind of, like, pumping the brakes. And, like, that might have been a sign of, you know, I'm not sure what I want either. You know, I don't want to, you know, do anything to kind of, you know, mess you up or mess Charlie up. And so by him saying that, it really kind of shows that, like what Kevin said, he's just putting the toe in the water. But he realizes that if he said something there that was like, you know, I'm all in, it could essentially ruin Charlie and Casey's life. And also his.
I think it's a big crossroads for him. I mean, because that's a critical juncture in his character, you know, whether he's going to continue being the hotshot lawyer, you know, who's the player, or is he going to kind of, you know, veer off the other way and, you know, try to be this family man. And so I think it's a very critical moment in his character's career, you know, in his path throughout the three movies.
Yeah. And I think he does kind of stay on the player path. Because he goes, D2, obviously, he comes back to being a player. But he goes off and he plays with the Minnehaha Waves, which I'm assuming is in, like, Minnehaha Falls, which is, like, right outside Minneapolis, if not, like, in the actual city. So it's not like he's going, like, out of state to play, or he's going to, like, Duluth or Bemidji. He's, like, right there. And then he comes back and is like, oh, I should have kept in touch more. You're like 20 minutes away.
So he didn't take a Greyhound bus. He took a Metro bus.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was very close. If, like, that's in fact where the Minnehaha Waves play. And then he comes back and D2, it's over. So, I mean, how does that end? Was he messing around? Does she know?
I think he just let it fizzle.
Yeah, I think so. I think whenever he leaves on the bus, it's kind of like a knowing, like, yeah, don't worry about this.
A wink and a nod.
You do your thing. I'm going to do mine. And, you know, he's on the road a lot, too. I'm sure he's traveling, you know.
Yeah.
He's got to have some groupies out there.
Yeah. Minor league hockey.
31. And he probably buys all the beer for all the his teammates, since they're probably, like, what, 18, 19?
So, that's a good point.
And we know Gordo loves beer.
He loves beer. And he doesn't have to worry about driving still. I mean, he's got that Metro bus.
That's true. He's got his Metro pass.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then we go to D2.
Oh, yeah.
And D2 is really, well, actually, step back to Casey. We're going to skip D2, go to D3. The only really relationship we have in D3 is when Gordon comes back for Hans's funeral, and he goes, like, right next to Casey. Is that an indication of anything?
I always thought that was a little too close for comfort, and I don't know, it kind of seems like there's this, like, understood thing, like, maybe she had found, you know, another guy or whatever, but nobody's there.
No, but she, there's like a throwaway line there.
Yeah,
like,
in D2.
In D2, that's just like, oh, she got remarried or something like that.
But yeah, where is he in D3? He's not in the picture.
Charlie probably chased him away again.
That's true.
He's in Los Angeles. He's
got a movie. He's like, teenager Charlie, can you? Oh, God.
He's like director of operations for the Junior Goodwill Games, like national team. Like, that's the job he took. And I assume that's in like Los Angeles or somewhere.
Who, Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
So he's gone, and then Casey remarries, and then we never see the guy. He never shows up to Hans's funeral.
Never shows up at Charlie's games, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess he doesn't like Charlie that much.
Maybe she was lying.
So she didn't remarry? Maybe.
Instead of just saying that I have a boyfriend, she says, oh, I'm remarried.
Yeah.
Just to keep Gordo away?
Yeah, or to make Gordo jealous and make him, you know, make him want her more. You know?
Yeah, but he's in L.A. I mean, yeah. Director of the Junior Goodwill Games. I mean, that's a sweet gig.
Yeah. All right. I think he's like director of player personnel or something like that. Speaking of the Goodwill Games, now we'll go to detail.
All right.
And
player,
really,
this is best play,
really.
Well, it's just like if you get out of like a relationship and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm back in my game, I'm gonna do whatever I want, boom, Iceland chick, boom, Miss McKay,
yeah,
whatever he wants.
So two, we have us obviously have Michelle McKay, and we have Maria, the Iceland trainer, kisses Michelle McKay on the cheek when she takes over on the Germany game, goes on a date with Maria. What's Gordon's play here?
What should he do, or what?
What does he do?
Well, he's definitely Iceland chick for sure.
All the way there.
Because remember when they first meet, and then like they like run into each other, and he does like a big double take, like, oh my god, like I've never seen a woman before. And then she's like, "You're Gordon Bombay," and he knows right away, I'm in. Like, I am totally in. And so he definitely. And McKay, it's more of like he sees her as like
she's cute.
Yeah, she's cute. Like, she's kind of lame. Like, I don't really like her character or anything.
Kind of a nerd.
Yeah. Kind of a nerd, and she's like that. When did hockey become about, like, you know, polar bears and, you know, press conferences or whatever?
Yeah.
And
she's keeping him in line, though. He was getting way off about the sponsorship and the Hendricks hockey and stuff, I think.
But Iceland chick.
I think, though, like, Miss McKay would also be very much like, let's say they went on a date. He's not going to get any for a while. Like, because she's, like, the tutor, and she's, like, not necessarily I'm going to make him work for it, but it's, like, I'm not, you know, putting out on the first date or even on the 40th date. It's very much, you know, 6 months down the road, maybe.
And then first date with the Iceland chick, there's the ice cream cone scene. I mean.
Oh, yeah, and the way those ice cream cones, I mean.
Well.
A lot of.
Okay. But.
A lot of innuendos in that scene.
Well, yeah.
But he comes out and he has like another come to Jesus when he does his crossovers on his roller skates. And it's all about like beating Iceland, and we're going to scout, and Jan is there, and we're going to scout, and we're actually going to do our jobs. Does that affect his relationship with the Iceland chick, because, aka Maria, because she is part of the enemy?
See, I don't think it affects him, and I also don't think it affects her, because she always seemed real distant from the team, from the Iceland team anyway. Like, she kind of seemed like she was her own, like, I'm going to go off and do whatever the hell I want to do. And I don't think Gordon at that point really has a conscience, so I don't think it affects him much.
I want to bring something up, you know, it's, you know, the whole eating ice cream with the enemy. Do you think that she purposefully ran into him and just like, oh, you're Gordon Bombay, as a way to, like, lower his guard? And then, like, they went out, like, the night before a game, and obviously he wasn't there, like, watching film or anything like that.
I don't want to believe that about her.
Interesting.
You don't want to believe that about her? Because, I mean, Wolf, or the dentist, he's
a dick.
Well, maybe, and she's like, that's his girl. And so he's, like, casting her out to go do this.
Wow.
But, yeah, after they run into each other, the Wolf comes up, and he's very, like, stern about, like, Maria not talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have to be, like, an act, basically.
Definitely.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not buying this.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah.
Because the Wolf is very conniving.
Oh, I know.
I could definitely see him.
She seemed like a free spirit, though.
See, I don't know.
I'm starting to agree with Tommy. I think we got something there because Wolf obviously does his scouting. He obviously looked into Gordon Bombay's past.
I bet you he hired her just because he knew that she had the good personality. She had, you know, the looks. She had, you know, kind of very, you know, like mysterious, kind of like Nordic looking woman. And so she was hired just to like get into Bombay's head, and it worked.
Yeah,
totally worked.
Wolf, great. He does his homework, so he knows Gordo likes the women. He's kind of a womanizer, you know. So he knows Gordon's weaknesses, hires her, gives him his head. It works. I like it. I think...
I refuse to believe it.
Just because you like Maria?
Well, yeah.
You refuse to believe that Maria would do such a thing?
Yes. Yes.
Why is that? The only thing that D2 taught me is that people from Iceland cannot be trusted.
That's true. I live my life that every day that way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Fun fact.
Every Icelandic person I meet, I just don't trust them.
Fun fact.
But why do you trust Maria both, then?
I mean, if they look like that.
Wow.
Oh, so you do trust them if they're good looking?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Naturally.
Can I get to my fun fact?
Sure. I love his fun facts. They're so fun.
Almost as fun as his intros.
The actress who played Maria, actually born in Iceland.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good, right?
That is a fun fact.
Fact was very fun. All right. So, I mean, let's go to Michelle McKay.
Wait, do you have any more fun facts?
She does have the accent, so, I mean, I guess we're never quite sure. Like, is that a fake accent, or I guess that's totally real.
Yeah. So, Michelle McKay, is she feeling Gordon, or is this just kind of they're there, like, together with a bunch of kids? Like,
I think she secretly has, like, a schoolgirl crush on him.
Yeah, I bet she's, like, when he's doing his, like, Hendrix thing at the slick back, you know, Pat Riley hair and everything, she's probably like, I bet I could change him. And she wants him to be, you know, the letter jacket, like where his Ducks letter jacket, that's the coach he wants. Like, the, you know, he's a friend to the players. He's not their coach. That's what she wants. And that's what she hopes. And then I think when she sees him, you know, yelling at the kids, it's like, this isn't going to happen.
Interesting.
I think she harbors like a love for him, but would never act on it. You know, she's that.
It's all about the kids first.
Like, I guess that's not a good analogy. Never mind.
What were you thinking of?
Not another teen movie. We don't go there.
So, okay. So if Gordo...
Great movie, by the way.
So if Gordo would circle back, like, would they be together? So Gordo has, like, a date, and he goes after the Iceland chicken, and obviously she leaves. And then Gordo kind of circles back to Michelle McKay.
So, like, is he with her in D3? Is that what you're asking?
I'm asking, would she be okay with that?
I think
seeing that.
I think after the games, because I bet you she would be, like, I bet you if she saw him with the Iceland chick, she'd be like, well, you know, he's a grown man. You know, he can do what he wants. And she would, you know, very much turned off. And then, like, she'd see him, you know, kind of stop that. And then, you know, he puts, you know, this is a fire in a barrel. This is a distraction, fire in the barrel, all that stupid stuff. And then, so whenever that happens and he's strictly focused on hockey and on the kids, she realizes her feelings again. And so afterwards, I bet she approaches him and just like kisses him. Like after they win, she just goes up, like after their campfire, whatever they always do.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Great scene.
Or maybe they just got rip-roaring drunk and
here it comes.
Two things you love. Getting
greases the wheels, man.
Getting rip-roaring drunk and illegitimate children.
So do you think they had an illegitimate child, Gordon and McKay? Or do you think they had to get like a morning after pill or something?
No, not with them. No. I think they were good. I don't know. I could see them being together, though, in three. I guess
live in like LA? Because I mean, she's like their tutor.
I guess so. She would have to.
Bombay was kind of, you know, on the sidelines in three. So you don't really, there wasn't really a need to touch on that part of the story anymore. Mm-hmm. But maybe they were, you know, maybe that was the case in three. We just never know about it because there wasn't really a need for us to know about it. It doesn't advance the story at all.
Is Gordon happy about that, though?
I don't know. There's always the risk that he falls off the wagon, you know, so to speak. I don't know.
Especially because, I mean, women are going to be flocking to him as the director of the Jupiter.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a pretty high position in the Goodwill Games.
No, it's league. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And everyone knows about it too.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably can't go anywhere.
I mean, it's on the cover of USA Today all the time.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
He's a celebrity.
That's true.
He's got that loafer shoe.
Did he ever get the shoe deal to make the loafer?
That's a good question.
I mean, they ended up winning, so.
Yeah. I think, who is going to take this? Like, I don't think Nike's going to make a loafer, you know? So I don't know what shoe. He'd have to have, like, a fancy.
Hey, Reebok made suits.
Did they?
For Mike Nolan. And Jack Del Rio.
Interesting. So you think Gordo gets an endorsement deal?
Maybe. I bet you Hendricks could do it.
Oh, great point.
There we go.
Great point.
There we go.
Yeah. So I think the loafer. I think the loafer comes out, but no one buys it.
Do you think maybe he realizes, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah.
A loafer for kids, like, who want a coach?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe one day when they're just hanging out, you know, watching football on a Sunday, you know. He and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just finally convinces him that it's a really stupid idea.
Or maybe Kareem says, you know what? I'm going to invest in that shoe.
That's true. And now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is broke.
Yeah. Appearing in basketball.
Yes.
Well, the Air Bombay was before his second, like, come to Jesus, where he does the crossovers. So maybe after that, he was just like, that's not for me, you know.
That's a good point.
I gotta go back to my roots. But we gotta stay with Gordo and his love life. Well, I mean, so after three, I guess, what's the end game for Gordon Bombay? Is he just like a bachelor? Just taking all these single moms with kids who want to get on the Junior Goodwill Games?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's, I mean, not necessarily the second part of that, but I think him staying a bachelor is the most likely scenario. I just think that's, you know, kind of in his blood. You know, I could see him being with Miss McKay, whatever, but I think the most likely scenario is that he's a bachelor and just lives the life.
Yeah, I can imagine him getting in a relationship with Miss McKay, maybe like an 8-month relationship, and then it's kind of like at a crossroads where she's like, hey, you know, you need to make a commitment, and he realizes that, you know, I love my work and I can't settle down. I can't devote, you know, the kind of time that she needs. Kind of going back to the whole Charlie and Casey thing, the first one, he realizes, like, hey, you know, that's not, like, even as much as I, you know, kind of want that, part of me wants to settle down, like, that's not me. So he's really honest with himself, and he, you know, breaks it off with McKay. I think it's, you know, friendly. I mean, they're able to, you know, not remain friends, but, you know, no bitterness or anything. And he, you know, he does what's best for everyone instead of committing to that relationship where maybe they get divorced because he wants to be able to, you know, do his own thing.
Plus, he gets to see Iceland chick, what, once every 4 years?
Oh, she comes back?
Sure, yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe she's got a sister.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, I think Gordon has it together. Like, in three, I think he's really got it together there. I think he's really turned the corner in three where he's, like, figured things out. He's doing what he wants to do. And I think eventually he says, like, all right, it's time to give it up, you know?
Wait, does he have you checked to see, does he have a wedding ring in three?
I don't think he does, but I did not look.
I'm going to say he doesn't.
Yeah. So that would be a weird addition if he did. And someone noticed. I feel like someone would notice it by now.
You know? Someone being you.
After like 20 years, I think someone would notice that. But so, I think he gets it together and really realizes, all right, like, I can do this. Like, I can stay committed. And I think it's not Miss McKay, though. I think he wants to, like, put all that in his past. And then I think he just finds some, like, C-list actress, maybe, or something like that. Somebody, like, that makes him feel kind of cool, but isn't really that cool. And then just settles down and, like, maybe has a couple kids. Is that reasonable?
I can see that happening.
I still think the most likely scenario is that he's a bachelor.
I could definitely see him, though, like, having kids and that totally, you know, reigniting his love for coaching hockey and, you know, kind of going for there for the eventual sequels.
Interesting. Kevin, how many kids out of wedlock does he have?
By what age? How old was he, I guess, would be the first grade?
I'd say he's, what, like 30 D1?
Well, okay. So if we assume D1 is 1992,
mm-hmm.
and he was playing Pee-wee's in 1973 when he has the, because the banner's up there, it says state runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
So he's what, 10?
Oh, yeah, so he's like 29 or 30.
29 or 30. So by D3, that's 4 years later.
34. So at 34?
Just no. In general.
We'll say at, by 45, he has two.
Two illegitimate.
One with the Iceland chick.
Oh, wow.
You know, see, Gordon, he's a smart a smart guy, though. He's not going
to
be...
And the Iceland and that kid, he's conflicted whether to play U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
There's a sequel for you, too.
I mean, how does Wolf feel about his trainer getting with Gordon Bombay's and having an illegitimate child?
Well, obviously, he hates it. Either that or he's been killed by somebody by now because everybody hates him. So, or he's been
sent. It's interesting that she was the trainer. You know, like, you think like Gunnar Stahl, like, I was like, oh, I've got a pain in my back. I need you to, you know, massage it out for me. Yeah.
Interesting. Gunnar Stahl like, just swooping in?
But it's not like, oh, Gunnar.
Oh, yeah. Maybe when Gunnar turns like 18 or something, trainer after being spurned by Gordon Bombay.
See, I don't think it's ever like that with them, though. I think it's like a once every 4 years thing.
Oh, so and
it's like understood.
They know, like, they just get together. It's like just for a fling. And
yeah, exactly.
They don't really have, like, it's just lust. It's not, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. A real up-in-the-air situation there.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Less frequent, but yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, Gordo, two illegitimate kids?
I'll say two. One with Iceland chick and one with that C-list actress.
But the C-list actress, wouldn't that be his wife?
Okay, yeah.
Then maybe like the B-list actress that he cheated on.
Oh!
C-list so wife. Wait, why did he cheat though?
He's Gordon Bombay.
Okay, so he cheats and then is it over? Is the marriage over after that? Does he ever get married?
I'm kind of contradicting myself because I don't think he ever gets married, but I'm trying to follow your arc as well. But
okay, just forget about my arc. What happens to Gordon Bombay?
He stays single.
Yeah, he stays single, and then
he has two kids. Yeah, and that's just it.
And well, the Iceland, that's, you know, he battles. He tries to get the kid to play hockey for the U.S., but, you know, obviously Iceland chick is trying to pull him to play for Iceland. And so that sucks up a lot of his time. And then he has another kid with some other chick out in L.A.
Interesting. I think that
kid's just like he hates hockey and
he wants to be an actor or something.
Yeah, something like that, or a football player.
He hates hockey because of his dad.
Exactly.
I like that.
All
right. I think the first kid definitely plays for USA because, I mean, Gordo's there. And Iceland's golden age has passed.
That's true.
We don't even know if they're going to make the Junior Goodwill Games.
You know, if you think about like real life scenario, Aaron Johansson, who's like half Icelandic, half American, he chose to play for America in soccer. Because, you know, he knew the writing was on the wall with Iceland. I mean, sure, they're a decent European club, but if he wants to play in the World Cup, play for the United States.
It's true.
I wonder if that's Gordon Bombay's kid.
Maybe.
Full circle.
Yep. We need to investigate.
All right. Any other thoughts?
I really don't think he's having any illegitimate kids just because he's a smart guy. And, like, especially, like, think about like when he's a sleazy lawyer, like he's 29, whatever. Even if something did happen where like he got a girl pregnant, I bet you he would be like, "You're getting this taken care of."
Is that the second abortion reference from Tommy?
Well, I mean, you know, no matter how you feel about it, but I'm saying the way his character is, it's very much like this is gonna ruin my life.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I can see that.
So
take care of business.
But also, you know, he seems like he's a smart guy. He's definitely, you know, birth control guy. So that's why I don't think he's having illegitimate kids at, you know, the age of 45.
Well, I disagree.
Okay.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Is there anyone who would not have an illegitimate kid in the Mighty Ducks canon? Aberman, maybe?
Yeah, I'm just saying that, dude. Or Goldberg.
Goldberg would be the kind of guy who, like, gets a prostitute pregnant and then, like, falls in love with her.
And then has, like, and then has 9 kids.
Yeah. Falls in love with a prostitute.
Wow.
Another sequel for me there. Yeah.
But that's for another day.
Yeah, we got dark here, so we're going to have to really...
Wheels kind of came off that
Yeah, way. We're going to have to reevaluate our lives right now. So just go out, tell your friends about the Quack Deck Pod. That's my new thing. Like, you don't even have to go to thequackdeck.com or follow us on Twitter at Quack Deck Pod. Or go to iTunes and give us 5 stars. None of that. Just tell your friends.
But it would be cool.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, if you want to, you can. But just tell your friends about it. Like, I told you to do this last week, and we were not the most downloaded podcast in the world. So somebody is slacking. So do it this week.
I bet you
week.
There's something wrong with the iTunes servers.
That's true. So do it this week, and we'll see you next time. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Quack, quack.